Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is describing to us how to prostrate. And he's saying that I've been commanded. Who has the ability to command the Prophet alayhi salam? Only Allah azza wa jal. So this is how we should prostrate. He was commanded to prostrate on 7 bones. The head, he said, and pointed to the tip of his nose, which means that the nose and the forehead are alike. And that is why, if someone only prostrates on the tip of his nose, is this permissible? No. And if someone, like a lot of the children, do only, they don't prostrate on the forehead, they prostrate on their heads, so that they can look what's happening behind them. So they'll do this and they look left and right and check on the people and play around. This is acceptable? No, it has to be the forehead and the nose. And then the Prophet said, the hands, the knees, and the feet. And among the mistakes that a lot of the Muslims do is not erecting the feet properly. You've seen this a lot. Lazy people, lazy worshippers. When they prostrate, you see their feet dangling in the air. While they're prostrating, their feet are dangling. Maybe they rub each other together. So while you're prostrating, you hear in front of you, someone is rubbing his feet together. This is awkward. Some of them put or place their feet like this, pointing the fingers to the direction of the Qibla and erecting their feet. They let their fingers point to the other side or to the opposite side of the Qibla. And this is not a correct prostration. Their prostration is not valid. Understood? Some of the people, and I've seen this, don't prostrate on the palms of their hands. Instead, they prostrate on their fingertips. And as if they're doing push-ups or some sort of, you know, hyped way of exercise. And this is not permissible. The sunnah and the right way of doing it is you place the palms of your hands on the ground and pointing it to the Qibla. Some people do this. Some people do that. And the sunnah is to do this in the direction pointing to the Qibla, because this is the soul of your prayer. And scholars differed where to put the feet when you prostrate. Keep them apart or make them close. There isn't anything specific telling us where to put them, except for the hadith of Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, when she said that I woke up once in the middle of the night and it was dark, we did not have any candlelight, and I did not know where the Prophet was, he wasn't next to me in the bed, so I started touching in the room, and my hands fell on the Prophet's feet erected, and he was praying, and she told us the supplication he was saying. Allahumma inna a'udhu biridhaka min sakhatik wa bi mu'afatika min 'uqubatik, to the end of the dua. So she said this, which indicates that both of his feet were close together because she touched them with one stroke. This is the only evidence. Other than that, there is no evidence saying that we should keep them apart or make them or join them together. So the most authentic opinion, and this is the choice of Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, may Allah have mercy on his soul, that you put them together. So this is regarding prostrating on the 7 bones. Now, prostration is by far one of the greatest deeds in Islam. And that is why in Sahih Imam Muslim, the Prophet tells us, when the son of Adam prostrates, the devil takes a corner and starts to cry. So you have the ability to make the devil cry. The devil cries and says, I've been ordered to prostrate and I refused, and I was doomed into hell forever, for eternity. And he was ordered to prostrate and he prostrated, and Allah will give him Jannah. So the devil knows this, we don't. Or we know, but we neglect. And the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that any servant of Allah who prostrates, Allah Azza wa Jal would give him for that prostration a good deed, a hasana, and would erase away from him a bad deed, a sayyi'ah. So prostration is something not to be taken lightly. One should know that the closest he is to his Lord is when prostrating. Prophet said, alayhi salam, the closest a servant of Allah is to his Lord is when he is prostrating. So choose whatever you wish of dua while you are in prostration. Allah would answer your dua. And before you ask me, Shaykh, is it permissible to make dua in our native language? I would say, it's an issue of dispute among scholars. The most authentic opinion is, if you know how to make this particular dua in Arabic, you must. But if you don't have the knowledge in Arabic, for example, I'd like to say, oh Allah, not forgive my sins, this is easy. If I want to say, oh Allah, help me in paying off my debts and getting my daughter married, for example. And I don't know how to say this in Arabic. So the scholars say you are allowed to say this in your own native language. But if you have the ability to say it in Arabic, you cannot prostrate and supplicate in Salah except in the Arabic language. If it's not in the Salah, if I'm going around the Kaaba, if I'm doing sa'i between the Safa and Marwa, if I'm sitting home and just wanting to supplicate, it's okay to do it in your own native language. I believe that this is all what we need to know about this hadith. We have a few minutes left, so I'd like to entertain your questions. Yes, brother.
As regards prostration, when we go down to prostrate, what is the correct sequence? Whether we should be touching our knees first and then hands? Because there are some conflicting statements.
There is a difference between scholars regarding how to prostrate. That is falling to the prostration position. What should touch the ground first? Should it be hands first or knees first? It's an issue of dispute, and the funny thing is, those who dispute it use the same hadith. Those who differed among them use the same hadith. And the difference is in defining the knees mentioned in the hadith. Because the Prophet is saying, do not prostrate like a camel. And when someone of you prostrates, he should put his knees. They said that the knees of the camel are allocated in his elbows. The Arabs, this is what the Arabs say. And the Prophet ﷺ, is telling us not to do this posture and to fall on your knees. So they say, okay, if this is true, then this means that we should not put hands first. And we should put our actual knees first. And those who said, no, the hadith is clear, do not put your knees first, the Prophet says, you should put your hands first. So it's an issue of dispute. Sheikh bin Baz, bin Uthaymeen, and a number of great scholars say, you should put your knees first. And Sheikh al-Albani differed with them and said, no, you should put your hands first. What do I do? I personally, due to age restrictions and demands, I go on my hands first, because this is the best way for a person who's old, who has sports injuries, and for a person who's praying on marble or on stones or on a rocky terrain. If you go on your knees, you're going to injure yourself. And you feel that. So to minimize the fall, going on your hands takes a lot of the pressure. But look to the wisdom of Sheikh bin Baz, may Allah have mercy on his soul. He said, if you do this or you do that, both is acceptable. Alhamdulillah. If we have this wisdom, we would not have any problem. But the problem is that a lot of the brothers, they differ and fight. Oh, you should go on your knees. No, you should go on your hands. Ya akhi, is it your problem? I'm praying to Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is the way I'd like to pray. And this is the way I understand the hadith. Why should it be an issue? It's a difference of opinion among scholars, and we should not make it an issue. Yes, brother.
I have a question that in the sujood, you said we can recite a dua. But there are some duas in the Quran. and we're not allowed to recite the Quran in prostration.
This is good. We're not allowed to recite the Quran while in bowing or in prostration. But the du'as you're referring to are not considered to be Quran, because you're not reciting the whole ayah, or you're not reciting a portion of the surah. You're simply saying, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا, etc. So actually you're not reciting the Quran, you're reciting portion of it, not as a Quran, but as a dua. And that is why scholars say that this is permissible. I'm afraid that this is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.